This morning we're going to continue our study of the Beatitudes. And so I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 and verses 1 through 12. And we'll read them together. Matthew chapter 5 and verses 1 through 12. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Beatitudes summarize what it means to be a citizen of God's kingdom. And those who would be within God's kingdom would have the characteristics that are set forth in these Beatitudes that Jesus gives us. Each Beatitude contains a declaration of blessing. It then provides a description of a certain attitude that we are supposed to have within our life. And finally, there is a blessing, an inherent blessing that results from that attitude. As we think about the Beatitudes this morning, we're going to go to verse 6. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." We see within this attitude, first of all, a desire. There is hungering and there is thirsting. Both of these things with which we are very familiar. Second, there is the object of this desire. And Jesus says that the object of our hunger and our thirst should be righteousness. And then finally, there is the satisfaction of that desire. This blessing that comes along with seeking righteousness, with hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And that is, of course, being filled. And Jesus promises to really fill those who are interested in righteousness. He tells us that He will really help us to have that attribute of God within our lives if we will seek Him. First of all, let's discuss this desire, hungering and thirsting. We all know what it means to be physically hungry. The desire to eat something is one of the most fundamental desires that we have. And when we get hungry, we know that familiar feeling within our stomach, and our stomach will start to rumble. And we will say to one another, "I believe I am hungry." Hunger drives us to eat regular meals. Hunger drives us to seek out ways to ensure that food is nearby and available for each one of us. God has placed within us these physical mechanisms so that we will understand when we need to eat. But Jesus is not talking about a physical desire, although He uses that physical desire to illustrate His point. He is talking about a spiritual desire. The desire for spiritual food. It is the case that any time we eat physical food, that food will be digested and eliminated, and eventually we will desire to eat again. But spiritually speaking, Jesus is saying that there is a hunger there that nothing physical can satisfy. There is a hunger there that physical food is not going to sate. There is a hunger there that no amount of things in this life is going to satisfy. And that hunger is for something beyond that which is physical, but that which is spiritual. Turn with me to John chapter 6 and verses 32 through 58 for just a moment. John chapter 6 and verses 32 through 58. It is here that Jesus talks about this spiritual hunger. John 6, starting in verse 32. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I have said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Then the Jews complained about him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophet, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. What was Jesus talking about here? He was talking about believing in him and following him and trusting in him. You see, he is the one who can satisfy our deepest longings. He is the one who can satisfy our hunger. He is the one who can satisfy our thirst. You know, I know what it means to be thirsty. A friend of mine and I, we went hiking one time in Colorado, and we took some water with us, and then we took some soda with us, and we weren't thinking really very well about this whole thing. And by the time we got to the top of the mountain, we had run out of everything. The water was gone, the soda was gone, and there was nothing left to drink. And so we thought, well, we can make it down. You know, it was only a 10,000-foot peak. And in Colorado, that's not a very big peak. So we started walking down, and after a while, we started getting thirsty. I asked my friend, do you have any water left? He said, no, I don't have any. He said, do you have any? I said, no, I'm all out. We'd had nothing left to drink. We kept walking, and we kept walking, and that desire for thirst kept prompting us over and over again. And after what seemed like an eternity, we finally came down the mountain and we got to a road, and there was a house on the road. And we went up to the house and we said, sir, can we have a drink of water? And he brought out a small glass of water and we said, could you just point us to the hose? You know, we'll drink out of the water hose. We were thirsty. We wanted more than just a small glass. And so we went back to the back of the house, and there he had a well. And there, a water hose was hooked up to the well, and we turned the water on and began to drink. And we drank, and we drank, and we drank. And that was the sweetest water I have ever tasted. but we were thirsty. And when you really thirst for something, only that which can satisfy your thirst will bring fulfillment to you. You know, we're supposed to drink water every single day. They say 8 ounces of water 8 times a day to satisfy our desire for water. Nothing satisfies like a cool glass of water satisfies when we're truly thirsty. And the body will die within mere days if we do not have water to drink. But Jesus again is talking about a spiritual desire, something that the physical cannot satisfy. Look what he says in John chapter 4 and verses 5 through 15. John chapter 4 and verses 5 through 15. Here it says that he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the 6th hour. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place to worship, where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He." Again, Jesus provides something that our physical desires cannot provide. He provides that living water. He gives us what we need when we're hungry, spiritually speaking. He gives us what we need when we're thirsty, spiritually speaking. If we neglect Jesus within our life, we will starve to death, spiritually speaking. We will be dead while we live, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 6, and we'll be like that prodigal son who became dead because he neglected within himself the most important thing, the presence of God within his life. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Consider the object of this desire, righteousness. Isaiah said, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." Isaiah 64 and verse 6. Mankind has nothing to offer when it comes to righteousness, because sin has separated us from God. Isaiah's illustration is apt indeed. Think about this for a moment. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I dare say that most of the ladies in this auditorium keep a very clean kitchen, and that when you walk into the kitchen, that if there is anything that is amiss or anything that is off, or if there's some dirtiness on the countertop, that it will be quickly remedied. That out will come a clean wash rag, and that wash rag will then wipe away whatever it is that's dirty and leave it clean. But suppose for a moment that someone were to come in from the garage with an old oily rag that had been used to clean engine parts of one kind or another, and noticed a little spot of dirt upon the kitchen counter and said, "Here, let me take this old oily rag and wash off your kitchen counter so it will be clean again." I don't think there would be a single lady in the auditorium that would say, "Stop! What are you doing? Don't try to clean this counter with that dirty, oily rag. You'll just make things worse." And that's exactly what Isaiah and God through Isaiah is trying to get across to us. You see, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And when we take that filthy rag of our own righteousness, and try to clean something up with it, we just make matters worse. We've got to go to the fount of righteousness in order to be cleaned from our unrighteousness. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 20, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Their righteousness was all that filthy rag righteousness, because they thought that they could earn their way to heaven by their own good works. But Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verses 8 through 10, that all these ways that he once thought were great, because he was a Pharisee, and he knew what it meant to try to clean things up with his filthy rag of human righteousness. This is what Paul said about that. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." You see, you can't take an old dirty rag and clean up something with it. You'll just make it worse. You've got to take something that's been cleansed, something that is itself clean, something that is itself holy and righteous and pure, and use that to clean up that which is dirty. And it is Jesus that is that clean rag, if you will. He is the clean cloth. He is that which is pure. He is that which is able to clean up that which is filthy. And it's through the faith of Christ that we become the righteousness of God in Him. This righteousness is from God by faith, and it's found within the gospel of Christ. We must submit to the righteousness of God. Romans 10, 1 through 4. This righteousness is, as Paul said, by faith in Him, in Jesus. That is where we must put our trust. And when we study the message of the gospel, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, we can have His righteousness within our life, for the just, or the righteous, shall live by faith. Are we seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Let us do this so that we can be pleasing to God. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Do you long to be filled? Do you desire to have contentment, satisfaction? Are you tired of doing things in your own way, with your own methods, by your own purposes, realizing that when you do that, you just make things a bigger mess than what they are? God has what you're looking for. That spiritual milk of the Word, 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. That strong meat that's for those who need to practice discernment, Hebrews 5 and verse 14. Yes, you see, God has given us an all-you-can-eat buffet of righteousness in His Word. And if we will feast upon that and apply it to our lives faithfully, we will be satisfied. Let's try ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5. Let's take up our cross daily. Luke chapter 9 verse 23. Let's let the righteousness of God satisfy us within our lives. Are you letting God's Word, God's Son, satisfy you this morning? Why not come to Him in faith, repenting of sins, confessing Him as the Lord, and be baptized, and put Him on as your identity this very morning? He can satisfy your deepest and most spiritual desires. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Let His righteousness be your life today, while together we stand and sing.